slightly behind, but I think we finally got our affairs in order here. I'd like to call our meeting to order and ask Mr. Massey to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. I'd like to start off by introducing the board here. To my far right, we have Ms. Heidi Harris from Sawyer. We have, to my right, Mr. Bill Massey from Forestville. To my left, our vice chair, David Norm from Sebastopol. And off to the far left, John Corbett from McKinleyville. I'm Jeff Hales, chairman from Eureka. I'd like to ask the board members if they have any ex parte communications to disclose.
There. There we go. Thank you. Mr. Chair.
Mr. Massey.
During our long absence from a board meeting, I have had several discussions with state and local officials regarding sewers, particularly in the West County.
Thank you. Mr. Noren.
Mr. Chair, I want to report that I participated since last meeting in the last of the UST Task Force policy development meeting. I also participated in a tour of the Shasta and a workshop actually on the Shasta TMDL. And finally, I went on a very good tour of NTMP in Mendocino recently of Lisa Wigert's property, and which was great.
All right, thanks. All right, I'd like to mention that I had a telephone conversation with Mr. Jason Proberko from Sierra Pacific Industries regarding a potential late comment submittal for the temperature policy. Moving on, we do have our state board liaison, Ms. Doduk. Welcome. Nice to see you. All of the stars aligned that you could actually make it here this time.
Yes. Thank you.
Cam has a wonderful story about having a flat tire on the way to our last meeting that turned her around. But it goes on after that with having multiple tires replaced. And not only were the tires replaced, but instead of being disposed, she found them stashed in the trunk of her car when she was done. So in state budget cuts, they've also waived the disposal fees for tires. So.
See how much money we're trying to save.
That's
these
right.
Days.
Every attempt is being made.
Well, thank you. Good morning. I'm happy to be back and apologize for my long absence, but with state budgets and everything else, it is sometimes you have to, again, align those doors in order to be anywhere these days. I was very happy, though, to see the most of the board member at our WQCC earlier this week. Thank you for attending. I think we had a robust discussion, especially on the groundwater issue, and we look forward to further development in that area. I feel that I really shouldn't be taking up your time today, because since you were there, you are pretty much up to date on everything. But let me give you just a quick rundown on something that I know Mr. Massey is always inquiring after. And that is our infamous on-site wastewater treatment system policy, which started out as regulations under AB 885 and has now morphed into a policy, or at least a draft policy. Tomorrow, the staff will be releasing a copy of the draft policy, and along with that will be a notice for four public meetings. The one for Santa Rosa is scheduled for November 3rd, and
second, I believe.
I have third. Okay. Well, they didn't tell me. So I would have to change the date of my elective surgery. It will be at the Wells Fargo Center, the site of the infamous meeting in 2000 and was it 8, 9? I tried to delete it from my memory, but it's never going to go away. In any case, all kidding aside, the entire team has been working very closely with the vital health directors and other stakeholders, and the policy, I believe, will, well, you know, of course, always generate a lot of discussion, but I believe it's in much better shape than it was the last time we attempted this. And thank you, Mr. Massey, for your continued interest and push on this issue. Couple of other quick things. Mr. Noren mentioned the low-threat underground storage tank work group that he so kindly provided assistance to and attended a lot of meetings. They met over the course of I don't know how many months, started earlier in the year, and Mr. Noren's participation was especially helpful in raising some issues that were very technical in nature, but also very specific to this region. And while not all, I think, issues were addressed in the way that all work group members feel comfortable with, they were able to come to the board with a set of recommendations, criteria, to establish low-threat criteria for underground storage tank, petroleum underground storage tank sites, and a CEQA scoping notice was released, and I believe one scoping meeting was conducted yesterday in Riverside, and one will be held in 10 minutes in Oakland. And after that, the staff will work. And I believe some of the work group members themselves actually took their show on the road and conducted 5 outreach meetings. And I was able to attend a couple of them, and I found the discussion, again, you know, very technical, but very useful and very helpful. And I do know that the work group members themselves plan on meeting again to see if they want to propose any changes in their own recommendations. So that is an ongoing effort for us as well. And then finally, some, you know, probably not so good news. The State Board took a very, very difficult action. Actually, we took several difficult action at our 3-day marathon board meeting / workshop / hearing last week, including adopting the frost protection regulation, which I don't think I will discuss further. But one of the most difficult decisions that was made, probably actually even for me during my entire 6 years on the board, was adopting the fee schedule. As you know, this year, the legislature approved and the governor signed into the Budget Act a general fund shift that led to a fee increase of almost $28 million. That was extremely painful to do. And as part of that action, the board also directed staff to come back to us in October with a proposal on actions that staff would take with stakeholder input to look at our various programs, look at our priorities, and see if there are any opportunities for cost savings and streamlining, and to present those recommendations to the board in March of 2012, with the hope that if there is any measures that we could take, that we would then be able to incorporate it into the May revised budget process. It was a very painful action to take, especially in light of these economic times, and I think we need to do our own look internally and see what might be done. And I'll be the first to admit, you know, especially at the State Water Board, I had a discussion with my executive director yesterday in follow-up to the discussion he had with you at WQCC on the one organization concept. And one of the things that disturbed me and has always disturbed me was that there are, I believe he said, 600 plus PYs at the State Water Board, and altogether among the regional water boards, about 900 PYs to do all the work that you need to do on the ground. And the statistics that shocked me tremendously was of that 600 plus PYs at the State Water Board, only 30 or so are actually involved in water quality policy development. 30. So we need to take a look at our own house and see what we need to do in terms of setting priorities and looking for perhaps sometime, you know, even the authority to move resources around so that they can be put to use addressing our highest priorities. So that was longer than I expected, but thank you for the time and for your attention.
All right, thank you, Tam. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I thought that was the most productive QCC that I had ever attended, so I really appreciate it. I thought you put substantive issues on the table, and I also thought it was very thoughtful on what needs to be consolidated and what different ways of using regional board expertise, as well as what functions the state could do really efficient, what ones really need to be left with the regions. And I appreciate the thoughtfulness of it almost as much as anything else, and then the subsidy policy issues. And so thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dale.
Okay, the chair has nothing to report. Do any other report outs from board members? Okay, and Ms. Coleman, will we hear from you at the end?
Mr. Chair, I would request that after lunch we would be given the opportunity to present some awards.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Great. All right, we'll move on to public forum. Ms. Corsi. Okay. All right. All right, so I've got two cards, and our first would be Brenda Edelman, followed by Lee Howard.
Good morning. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I'm Brenda Edelman from Russian River Watershed Protection Committee. Some of you may be familiar with the Jenner Estuary Project, which is, to put it very briefly, is a project that's required in the biological opinion, and the lead agency is the Sonoma County Water Agency. And the main goal of this project is to maintain a closed mouth at the Russian River all summer from May 15th to October 15th, and in order to produce habitat for the steelhead fish that would be beneficial before they re-enter the ocean, and it supposedly improves their conditions for re-entering the habitat. It's a very complicated project, and there's not much time. We produced a brochure. We have been very actively involved in this issue. One of our biggest concerns is that the project requires a change in Decision 1610, which would lower flows significantly in the lower Russian River. And we had studied this issue carefully in 2009 during a drought year when flows were very low, and we found there were serious problems with all kinds of water quality problems, problems with recreation. There's problems with the seals. When the mouth is closed, the seals go away, and this is the most significant haul out on the north coast of Jenner. The EIR was completed. We had submitted many, many comments on it. There were 173 comments from the public. Almost all of them were negative. People really care about the fish, but we feel this is a project that will cost about $1 million a year to maintain. It will exacerbate water quality problems in the estuary and the lower river. There are many, many issues with this. I just can't. And one other important issue is that it's a management plan, so that the project description is very, very. It just isn't carefully explained, because the project will change depending on conditions. This is a place in the river that is extremely dynamic. The mouth is always moving a great distance from one week to the next. And we just, the goal of the project is to build this outlet channel, which would keep water in the laguna, in the lagoon, but not allow salt water in, because they want a freshwater environment. So at any rate, they have divorced this project from the low flow project, which is to change to Decision 1610, which they call Fishflow Project, and thereby excluded a lot of addressing water quality problems in the lower river, because that will be discussed in another EIR, and we had a serious problem with that issue. We had serious problems with the changing definition of the project, and we had serious problems with a lot of the water quality issues that weren't defined in this particular EIR. At any rate, we put together this brochure, and it lists more details about our concerns. And then on August 16th, the Board of Supervisors approved the EIR, even though there had been significant comments and new issues entered the day before they approved the project. And as a consequence, on September 16th or 15th, we reluctantly, our group, Russian River Watershed Protection Committee, filed a lawsuit challenging their certification of CEQA. We really didn't want to do it. We had tried everything possible to bring up what we felt were very critical issues, and it really was to no avail. None of our significant issues were adequately addressed. I think the water agency did the best they could under very difficult circumstances. There are no concerns about personality or anything like that. It's just that we feel there are severe problems with the CIR and with the whole situation that may emanate from a faulty biological opinion, to tell you the truth, that was never reviewed environmentally by the public. All of that could have been resolved had there been some open transparency with the development of the biological opinion. So at any rate, I just wanted to provide you with this information to explain our situation with the lawsuit. We're hoping that good things will come out of it. We're not seeing this as a negative action. And we just wanted you to understand our situation. And I'm open to questions if you have any.
Okay, thank you, Brenda. Mr. Corbett.
I just had one. Did you check with the California Coastal Commission? Because I know that in similar projects, they've required a coastal development.
Yes, there are about 10 permits that are required approximately. And we're working with people who are working with the Coastal Commission, and they're going to be reviewing this along with the state lands and along with your agency. So we are working on that aspect of it. Thank you very much.
Brenda, I just want to take an opportunity to thank you for keeping us informed. We are, at least I am, I keep an eye on the whole system here that is being trying to be managed, and there's many moving parts, including the estuary, which is a downstream receiving end of this. So I do appreciate you just taking the time and effort to put this together, and I look forward to just seeing how this goes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Lee Howard.
Good morning, Board. My name's Lee Howard, 3900 Pardeechee Road, Ukiah. It's been a while since I've been here. The last time I was here, I believe it was Ross Liscombe sitting up there, and Sue Warner was sitting here, but Luis was still here. So, you know, I come to you today with concerns. I'd like to give you just a little background. Over the years, I'm sure that the regional board has found it difficult to deal with me, but I've found it difficult to deal with the regional board also. Some of the things that have happened over the years, the last one was I got to meet one of your people to do an inspection on my place because I was accused of dumping. Well, after Mr. Hunt completed the inspection, he said no, it was frivolous and not worthy. Prior to that, several years ago, my wife called one morning and said there was three gentlemen at the office that wanted to make an inspection of my yard, and they were carrying guns. I went to the yard. Sure enough, Department of Toxic Substance came, and for the next 6 hours, I let them wander through my yard and look at anything they wanted to do. When they finally left, they said it was frivolous, the complaint was unfounded, and I have a letter to that effect. But I think the best one of them all is my wife and family were in the yard one fall day, and a Black Hawk helicopter showed up at the place, circled, lowered itself to within 100 feet of the ground, took pictures, and left. Well, today, hanging on my wall is an apology from Mr. Ben Core and this board for that action. I tell you these things not as any reason other than the fact that sometimes they do have alternative motives when things happen. I hand out today to you a thing that we've been fighting and dealing with in Mendocino County since January, is the fact that your permit that you issued the county requires them to adopt an ordinance and put it in place for stormwater. Good deal, no problem. But the problem started in the fact that the day the county adopted this, back in January, it was represented to them that it was required countywide and that there was no exceptions to that and that the regional board required that. We questioned that at the time. The supervisors questioned that more than once, and lo and behold, they went ahead and adopted it. Later that year, we had a workshop with the county, and about 100 citizens showed up at the workshop, and we went through it. They were still of the opinion that it was a mandated requirement that be countywide. I put in front of you a couple letters, and you have a letter in this that has just recently, well, let me back up a minute. This past Tuesday, the Board of Supervisors took this issue on again. Were informed that no, it was only the permitted areas that are under the permit and drawn into the map that are required to be in the county ordinance. And they withdrew the countywide ordinance and put it just to what is required by law. I think it has a lot of good both ways in it, in the fact that it, when you start pushing these mandates onto the county with no cost or no realization that they are costing people money, you really start skewing the whole system. The simple fact is that I don't disagree that we need stormwater regulations, but the state legislature, the Clean Water Act, dictated how it was to be put in place. And for anybody to come along and say, we want more because we're government, is not appropriate. We have written, and you'll find a letter from ABC in here to you, Mr. Chairman, asking you if this fact that, quote, new areas are being designated to cover these in the state, is that a threat? We do, however, strongly recommend that the county leave the existing stormwater ordinance in place for the following reasons. The reality is it isn't required by law, and it has no funding with it to subsidize the county. We put new water control people in place and lay off sheriff deputies? I don't think so. But what I'm asking you is, this policy that is being put out by staff here, is it a board policy or is it a staff wish list? That's all I'm asking. And when we got your letter on Monday, Mr. Chairman, it actually went to the environmental community before we got it. It went to the CCs on here before we got it. I called Mr. Rivera and said, did the chair actually see this letter? And if so, why isn't his signature on it? We ask for you, Mr. Chairman, and this board to recognize where we're at with this thing. We're just asking a simple question of, quote, our appointed or elected officials. If, in fact, this is what you want, you represent us, and we don't have, you know, if you want to say that we want this throughout the entire county, that's fine. But I don't think it's staff's place to start setting policy through the staff mechanism. I leave you this. I encourage you that to do outreach on this in Mendocino County, the organization that you see on these three signatures represent 3,000 people. We would like to have outreach, a working group, and learn what you really want out of this, and maybe you'll learn what we want out of it. We do want good water quality. We do want settlement to go away. But I don't think we do it with high-handed tactics like we've gotten out of this right now. Thank you for your time, and if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thanks, Mr. Howard. Appreciate that. Just a little backup. I have been in touch with Ms. Coleman about your letter. I received copies of that. I've been traveling, and in my absence, she had to sign the letter for me. It's pretty common for our staff to take care of those matters when we're not available to do that. I'm also hearing from you that the communication that we've been having clearly hasn't been the best, and I'm sensitive to that. And so, you know, in terms of looking for outreach, I guess what I would like to do is turn to Ms. Coleman here, because we have had some conversation, and from in terms of being able to communicate back to you on what we feel is the how the policy should be moving forward. I want to just be sure that I'm assuming that the facts that have been presented in the letter are correct, but maybe just the way that the message has been delivered hasn't been the best way to be doing that. So
I think that that's really true, and we have some emails back and forth between our county staff and your people down here that said, you know, come cover our tail. We've started this thing. You help us make sure it goes through. I don't think that's appropriate way to do it, and I don't think the county will be doing that in the future. But it is. It's communications. And communication and more communications, but we don't want to, you know, this can move into a realm that isn't needed right now. I think we have a group of citizens up there that are concerned and willing to work with you guys, but let's make it go both ways. That's all I'm saying.
Sure, I understand.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Ms. Coleman?
Certainly would support any kind of action that would lead to better communication. I am perplexed, however, in the latest letter, which is consistent with the other two that I signed, that says, we support but do not require this ordinance to provide water quality protection throughout the county. Now, that seems to me pretty clear. That doesn't mean that there isn't an opportunity to talk and better understand each other's positions. But from my view, I don't know how we could have possibly written it more clearly what we were saying and what we believed, which was obviously it's a sediment-impaired system. We're very concerned about sediment. The county needs to be concerned about any kind of pollution coming into their stormwater system, whether or not it's in a phase two area or not. That's an issue. And the ordinance was simply to give the county the ability to deal with that. Could have been done better, could have been handled differently. That's just fine. But all that was ever required and all that we ever said in our letters is that you got to cover the phase two, because that is a requirement of the law. And since it's sediment impaired, it would be good to cover the rest, because that's an important thing for water quality and implementing TMDLs. County's choice to go the way they chose to go.
And I appreciate what she's saying, but again, when you put the second paragraph in, is that we want this. The Board of Supervisors at its first meeting did not recognize that they had any opportunity other than countywide. They were told by their council, point blank, that it had to be countywide. It's taken this long to get to that end. I'm not going to waste your time. You've got a lot of important things here to do. Let us work together, Mr. Chair, and we will try to, you know, come up, visit. I'm sure we can work some of these things out, and it'll be helpful for everybody.
Message received.
Thank you.
And, thanks,
and
Mr.
Just
Howard.
One last point. That isn't a threat. It was simply a comment that the phase two stormwater is being, the permit is being reissued by the State Water Board. We don't issue that permit.
Right.
And within that permit, they are asking and trying to cover more areas and designating more areas in the county. So it's not a threat. It's just a statement of what is in the public process now.
But with that permit also comes the reality that there's some more caveat in it, population, as far as finances and those things. We will work with you, Mr. Chairman, if you'll work with us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Noren.
I appreciate the comments. One comment that I would have is this being an MS for a phase two MS4, which is primarily what we have in our region. We only have one phase one. So I think we're going to see potentially some of these same palette of issues come up. I would be interested in trying to better understand the application of phase two for rural counties and maybe better understand some of the palette of choices that they have, because truly, as I read this letter, I also kind of see a clear path to how things got askew. But I think the path to trying to understand this would be well said, that if for us to understand it, for us to understand how maybe counties and some of these rural counties can actually get to some of these things. So my suggestion would be to absolutely have communication that reaches out, but also to inform ourselves about how these phase two permits are going to work. That would be my request.
Great. Great. Thank you.
Mr. Noren, would you like us to come back with a briefing for the board on what is the existing phase two program and the draft phase two permit that the state board has under consideration?
I think that would be very helpful, because I'm assuming that this phase two actually started 5 years ago, 6 years ago. So this is a renewal of the existing phase two, but yet there's some things in play that are particular to Mendocino County, which is the 5C road program, your own county or lack of a county grading ordinance. And I think that there's some things on both sides of the fence here that we need to understand. So I think that would be very helpful.
Okay.
And we do that in the open, and we can have a discussion about this, because I'm sure that Mendocino County is not the only county out here that's going to have to face some of these things. So I would like to better understand, and I think we can make better informed decisions as a result.
Thank you. Okay. That's all I had for public forum. Any other speakers? If you have something that's not on our agenda, going once, going twice. All right. Move on to approval of our meeting minutes from June 23rd. Do I have a motion?
I'll so move that we adopt them.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Moving on to our uncontested items. Item number two, order number R1, 2011-00.